Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Pat, I just heard you sniffling.
Sorry.
Yeah, Pat, the cold is not doing too good here. This is You're With Spirit Talk and your hosts, Pat Rivers and Rosemary Fox. And tonight we're going to talk about sexuality in America. We might make it part one and part two because we're basically going to talk about the school system, which is pretty interesting, and how sex education is given to our children. And I don't think, although there are a lot of concerned parents out there, I actually don't think enough people know that they could take more action on this. So some of the facts are sort of ridiculous. And you got to remember, this is our future generations here and how they view life and responsibility and morals and everything else is very important at a very young age in the school system. So I was, and Pat had mentioned to me a couple of weeks ago that there were some states up north that actually were teaching masturbation and what was it, masturbation and what else? Was it Pat?
Yeah, they were teaching them how to, well, that and how to, they actually brought like vibrators and stuff, and there was a report that a teacher was demonstrating it. I don't know if that, you know, I did not read the article. I heard it. I saw people talking about it and actually heard it on the news, but I never read it with my own eyes. But there was actually a teacher that was actually demonstrating how to do this in class.
Wow.
Yeah, that kind of got my attention.
Well, I think it's one of the things I did look up today, besides the what's going on here in the country, was that there are only 9% in the country that are actually qualified to teach sex education. And that's an interesting fact. And there's a lot of things behind that. Most courses, health courses, teach the HIV and sexually transmitted diseases, which they're qualified to teach. But very few, if not most, I would say, I think it's only 13 states, if I'm remembering rightly, where they actually have full sex education. And so the problems around that are two or three things. One is the teacher is embarrassed. There are some teachers that are embarrassed to talk about such intimate details with their students, just like some parents are embarrassed to talk about details. So that's one issue. Another issue is that they aren't qualified, so they don't know how to go about this and present it in a way that's not embarrassing, that's factual, and so on. And the third issue is that teachers are afraid that they're going to have to deal with angry parents or parents are going to take issue with the teacher, even though it's part of the curriculum. And so they're afraid of their careers and their jobs. And so there's a lot of issues. And then one of the biggest issues, and it's not countrywide, but in certain areas, is that you've got religious groups who, and this just absolutely blows my mind, believe that you should not teach anything but abstinence, because they believe that if you teach abstinence, that your children will not have sex. Really? Really? You've got raging hormones here.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is absolutely insane. So,
that's
anyway, that's the parent.
Yep.
That's a teacher aspect of it. So I feel for teachers. They don't have enough clout as it is, and they're certainly not well paid enough to be put in difficult situations. But the fact that they do not, if they're teaching sexuality of any sort, that they're not qualified, not because they don't want to be, because it's not offered. They're just thrown into the lion's den, so to speak. So,
you know,
anyway.
It's really weird. I don't know. You're from England. You're just a few years older than me, but I'm 59, and so sex education, we did have that taught by our PE teachers. I can't remember exactly what age I was. I'm thinking we were junior high. I'm thinking that's when it was. And what they did, they separated the boys from the girls, okay? Okay, wait, I think it was a regular class, and the PE teacher came. That's what it was. We were just in our regular classrooms. And what they did, they asked the boys to leave the room, and the coach took them to another room. Now, this is how sex education was back in the 70s or 60s even. So what it was, the girls were in one room, the boys were in another, and our PE teachers, you know, because back then, I don't even know if kids have PE anymore, physical education, but our PE teacher came in and had videos, you know, the little slideshow and all of that sort of stuff, and gave us our information. And we were blushing, and everybody was so shy talking about menstruation, and they showed the female anatomy, and they showed the male anatomy, and we were all like, oh, my gosh, you know, we were all embarrassed. But we did get sex education, you know what I'm saying? They talked about ovulation, when you could get pregnant, and, you know, they didn't really go into sexually transmitted diseases or anything too much. But we did get sex education. We did have a test on it. You know, we had to pass a test. And so it's really amazing to me how things seem to come full circle because, I mean, that pendulum is really swinging wide right now if you've got teachers who are doing what we're talking about. Now, let me ask you this. You said only 13% of schools, is that nationwide?
Only 13 states. It's only 9% of teachers actually take the course. And I didn't mention this before, but only 6 states out of all our states require that as a necessity to have a proper sexual education course for their teachers. That's not enough. And I want to tell you, too, the schools that teach abstinence, when someone asks, is it okay to have sex before marriage, this is the common response, then you will die.
What?
They've been told that you will die if you have sex before marriage. I mean, how? You were always living in the dark ages. I mean, fancy. I guess that's not true. Like I just said to you before we came on the air, we got millions of people in the world. I guess nobody died here. So, I know. Isn't that ridiculous? Yeah, so it's only 6. Isn't there 50 states here in America? It's 50,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, only 6 states require that a teacher has proper training for sex education because it's not offered. The other is offered. And then here's what's interesting, too.
Okay,
is
now, wait a
even
minute.
If they,
when you said the other is offered, are you talking about the teachers talking about masturbation and all that? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm not. I'm not, this is just actual sex education, anything that is around talking about sex education. And then they've also separated that, too. It's like you can talk about certain things, but you can't talk about other things. So here's the thing. You can't talk about contraception because that's going to offend certain religious groups, and I'm sure that means Catholic, okay? You can talk about you can talk about sexually transmitted disease, but you can't mention homosexuality if anyone asks a question about HIV. So the teacher's hands are so tied. I mean, the other thing is, too, is that in the schools, in some schools in the 9th grade, they are actually even taught how to do oral sex. How about that?
Right.
As if you actually, yeah, I know. But here's the bad thing, is that parents are allowed to opt out of that. Okay, I don't want my child doing this or that. But then your child doesn't learn anything because they don't get to sit in the class at all. So it's not like, you know, okay, that's not a subject we're going to talk about. So they don't get to have any of it. So that's not beneficial either. So it's kind of an all or nothing thing with the way it's and done. And today I read fourth graders. Now, what age is fourth grade? You know I'm not from this country. What age is fourth grade?
That's about 8 years old, 8 or 9.
So fourth graders in Wisconsin, not all Wisconsin schools, but in some schools they have the authority to talk about detailed sexual education. That means it includes masturbation, contraception, and intercourse, the whole 9 yards, but in detail. Now, when we talk about detail, I'm talking graphic here, which is not necessary for an 8-year-old. There's a lot of ways to talk about. Certainly don't need masturbation in it and how to pleasure yourself. And in fact, actually, the actual statement that they use, it says, that the term used is stimulation of one's own genitals for the purpose of achieving sexual pleasure. I do not actually think that an 8-year-old needs to hear that.
That's crazy.
And that is what they said. That's what's written in the textbook. In the textbooks that are sent to parents and what the children have as literature in front of them to refer to, they do not need to be knowing about oral sex, masturbation, and there is a way to teach, you know, even with intercourse, you don't need to have graphic detail. I did not research to see if they were showing them actual sex videos. I hope not. But, you know, when you're doing something graphic, I mean, why would you need to do that for an 8-year-old? I mean,
you shouldn't. Let me ask you this. Okay, these curriculum that you're talking about, it sounds to me, since you're saying the state of Wisconsin, but not all states. In other words, it sounds like these are certain school districts that are choosing what curriculum they're going to have, whether they're going to have one at all about sexuality. So is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah. But there are laws. Like, for example, this has been changed in 1997. North Carolina removed from all textbooks, even for the ninth graders. Okay. That it did any kind of sexual education at all, because it didn't comply with state laws requiring public schools to teach abstinence before marriage. So it back then, and that's not that far back, but now that's changed. Now these are the schools. Let me see. Schools required only to provide STD and HIV AIDS education. That is New York, Ohio, your state, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Washington, Wisconsin, California, Connecticut, Florida, Indiana, Michigan, Missouri, New Hampshire, New Mexico. Those are the ones that are required to only teach that. So if they have sexual education, it may be a local thing that they vote on or something of that nature. So then it says schools not required to provide either sexuality education or STD or disease education, or Alaska, Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, Virginia, and Wyoming. So none of those schools are, if they choose not to teach anything at all, won't in any of those states. So the only schools that are provided now, and that includes North Carolina, I believe. Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, North Carolina. Now they're required to teach sexuality and disease education is Alabama, Arkansas, Delaware, District of Columbia, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Maryland, Minnesota, Nevada, New Jersey, North Carolina, which is the one that didn't. So that's recently being introduced in the last 10 years. Rhode Island, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, Vermont, and West Virginia. So that's the only states that are required to actually do that. Now you have to teach it. But all the rest here are kind of doing whatever they please. And also, too, there are some places where not only are they teaching sexuality to sixth graders, too, and defining and outlining intercourse and oral sex, but they're also teaching to third graders all about suicide. What the hell? This is stuff you can find on the internet. And that's where I got all my notes from, because I sat and read all these things, and I'm kind of horrified at, you know, where's the common sense in this teaching? I mean, there has to be something, or, you know, this is my idea. Why do they not have someone that travels from school to school that's a qualified sexual education person that can cover all these topics in a moral way, a sensible way, and where it's not going to offend anybody, and not put the responsibility on the teachers, seeing as the parents, not all parents take responsibility. Why can't they have people designated to do that, which it would take off the shoulders of the teachers? If they want to complain about it, fine, but then a teacher won't feel their career is in jeopardy if they, God forbid, say the wrong thing. The other thing that what horrifies me about this sex education is why aren't they teaching the realities of being a single parent? You know, how difficult it is and the financial responsibility for it. Why are they not teaching fulfillment in relationships and talking about relationship skills when they're teaching this? Those things are very, very important, seeing as so many people are a mess here. So that, to me, I don't know why that is so. And I also read this, which I thought was interesting. It said, it has been said, who is in the principal's office is more important than who is in the Oval Office. And that is because we're teaching for future generations, and the way we teach them and the attitude they have going out in the world is incredibly important to, you know, future relationships, how we handle each other. If people think that sex is like, oh, you know, okay, so I know this, so maybe I'm going to try it. I think everything, there has to be something across the board that explains things in the right way without teaching children oral sex or masturbation. I just, to me, that horrifies me. I don't know what we would have done, you know, in my day if they taught that in school. They didn't. I mean, we had sex education, but it was nothing near as graphic as what some places are teaching. And this is America. I was sort of America when I came here. I was sort of, people were a little bit stuffy, to be honest, compared to Europe. I just thought, oh, wow. I thought, well, something must go on behind closed doors here, you know, because I was kind of taken back when I came. No, because, you know, I go to the beach and everybody's wearing baggy pants and they wear these bathing suits in Europe, like called ball busters. You know, it leaves nothing to the imagination and nobody takes any notice of it. So when I first came here, I thought, oh, everybody's kind of like a little bit prudy. And that's just not true. It just goes on behind closed doors. And
right.
So this is like out in the open, these issues. But when you told me that a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about sexuality in the schools, I was sort of horrified. I think if I was a parent, I would want to sit in on the class. I'd want to know what is it you're telling my child and how are you saying it? Because, and that also falls back on the fact that there are so many parents that can't be bothered, or they think, oh, you'll find out, or they're embarrassed or whatever. And really it is the responsibility of the parent to educate your children in the right way. I mean, I know you have, for those that don't, but I think it is a responsibility of the parent. And then you can put it in a way that is a lot easier, especially a child. I mean, an 8-year-old, for crying out loud, does not need to know how to stimulate their genitals to get sexual orgasms. Please. I think I'd have a fit if I knew that my child was being taught that in a school. I know I would, in fact. I mean, that's something that everybody discovers on their own. I don't think you need to do a step-by-step for my child.
Right.
So I was kind of horrified with that when I was.
Right. Well, I told you it was a big deal in the news a few years ago, because I think what's happened, you know, when you look back in history, well, let me just say this. Working as a registered nurse in Baton Rouge, I worked at a woman's hospital, okay, and this was back in the 80s. Back in the 80s, we had 11, 12, 13-year-old girls having babies. Their bodies could not even handle it. You know, they're still children themselves. But there was, and it didn't happen all the time, but it happened enough to where it was an issue. It's starting to become an issue. Well, this was not just in Baton Rouge. This is nationwide. And when you look back on history, back in the so-called old days, like the 1900s, up until like the 1940s even, I have to backtrack, the early 1900s. From the early 1900s backwards, let's put it that way, most people, the average lifespan on the planet was about 45 years old. You know, you were considered getting up there at that age because we didn't have antibiotics. We didn't have modern medicine. There were all sorts of, there was no vaccines for all the common diseases like polio and things like that. And so people matured faster. I mean, think about it. People were getting married in America at 13, 14, 15 years old. It was okay to get married. You know, that just started changing back in the 40s and the 50s, where you had to be 15 or 16 or get parental consent. But back in the 1800s and before, you know, people get married at 12, 13 or having families because you're usually dead by the time you're 40, 45, 50. That was old age. So when you look at the 19th century and the 20th century, you know, science comes along and we start having lots better nutrition. We have vitamins. We started with, you know, medications and vaccines. So people's lifespan started extending to where now people can live to be 100 or so. So when you look at it from a scientific, biological point of view, our bodies started changing. Women's menses didn't start starting till they were 16, 17 years old back in the 40s, okay? My aunt and I talked about it. Her brother was 17 years old. And that was 16, 17 got normal because as our lifespan increases, better health, better food, and taking better care of ourselves, people's lifetimes extended. So therefore, biologically, people started developing at a later age. Well, what's happening now in the last, oh, I'd say 15 years or 20 years, with all of the mass production of agriculture and livestock, for there to be, and plus our population explosion. So here you've had a population explosion, and I'm speaking mainly of North America, okay, because I don't know worldwide statistics, but I can tell you here in America our statistics. With the population explosion, you know, we only had 150 million people 50 years ago. We're up to 350 million people. So to think about that, on a daily basis, if you're feeding people, if most people eat 2 to 3 times a day, look how many meals that is of food that people are consuming on a daily basis. You're talking around 1 billion meals a day on the average. If you've got 350 million people, you're talking close to 1 billion meals a day. That's a lot of food that has to be produced. Y'all have to forgive me. I found 2 kittens outside under my Jeep, and they hadn't eaten in 2 or 3 days. Their mother, I don't know if their mothers have been killed, but they're like 2 months old, and now all of a sudden they're making noise. I forgive me. I've got them in the bedroom with me. I don't know what else to do with them. They've been really quiet till just now. They hadn't made a word. Let me cover up their little cage. Maybe they'll go to sleep. No, that made it worse.
I can hear them.
Yeah, the one is black and white with the pink nose. They're so adorable. Hey, baby, it's okay. They're scared. But anyway, so getting back to this, so here we've got people nowadays to be able to produce enough food just for Americans. That's a lot of food every day. So what's happened, we've got Monsanto creating all of these herbicides so that we have different kind of crops,
right.
You know, not as much insect problems. Then they've got Roundup seeds that they put the herbicide inside of the seeds. So we've got all now, we've got the GMO foods, okay? Then you've got the livestock producers who are putting antibiotics and growth hormones into the feed for the chickens, the cows, the pigs to get the fastest amount of growth and the shortest amount of time because we've got a lot of people to feed. So
right.
Over the last 20 years, you've got all these hormones, these growth hormones that they've given to the animals, and we're eating the cheese, the meat, the eggs. We're eating all the results of these growth hormones and antibiotics. So what's happening now, girls are starting to have their periods and boys are maturing at a much earlier age now than when you and I were growing up. Some kids are starting to have their periods when they're 8, 9, and 10 years old. And that strictly goes back to the growth hormones being put into the animal products, into the animals. So
right.
Now you've got children. If your period starts, your hormones have started. So I can see why this has developed the way that it has, trying to get sex education, because if your period starts at 9 or 10, you can get pregnant at 9 or 10.
Right.
So that would be like a 5th or 6th grader. So I understand the concept that kids are maturing faster. Plus, you're seeing anything on the internet, they can look up anything they want. They can see any porno. They can see anything they want now. So I understand the need for there to be an increased curriculum for sexual education, but going about it the way they're doing, you know, they're actually demonstrating homosexuality in the schools too. I don't know if you touched on that. I don't think you did, but there's classes where they actually demonstrate and tell that, not demonstrate, but they openly talk about homosexuality with boys and girls. So that's kind of a lot of people say that's kind of the liberal agenda. You know, it gets into a political realm there. But the basic problem is we're just out of balance on what to do. I mean, most schools, they're, you know, the ones that you're talking about just teach sexually transmitted diseases and that sort of thing. But you can go get free condoms at the nurse's office. They give out free condoms. You know, if you give a child a condom, to me, that's consent.
Right.
Even though the reason they're doing it is to try to stop diseases and unwanted teen pregnancies, because teen pregnancies, you know, it was an epidemic up until they just started dropping the last 2 or 3, 4 years. But here in Oklahoma, they had the highest teen pregnancies in the country were here. So I can understand it's really a slippery slope, and it's that pendulum is swinging from one extreme to the other when it comes to sex education. It's definitely needed. But I don't feel we need to be demonstrating how to masturbate. I don't feel like we need to be talking about homosexuality and how you go about oral sex. I mean, that to me is consent. That's something a parent needs to talk to a child about. You know, most parents aren't going to. And it cracks me up. My dad was an OBGYN doctor. That's what he did. He took care of women and delivered babies. But you know how my big sex talk with my dad, you know what it was? He hands him this huge, huge hardcover book. It was huge. It was like 2 feet by 2.5 feet, this huge book, okay? And it was full-color pictures, and it showed the female anatomy, and it showed how the woman's body changed when she was pregnant, and it showed every aspect and from the time the ovum was fertilized, the egg was fertilized, all the way to what newborn babies, how big they were in the belly, what they changed. It showed all these sexually transmitted diseases, what it looked like, the drainage, the ulcers, the sores. Honey, I didn't have sex till I was 21. I'm serious. I was 21 and a half when I finally had sex. I was terrified I was going to get pregnant. After seeing that book, plus my dad being a doctor, you know, doing that, the fear of God was in me. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't fool around and things like that. I wasn't a prude at all. But as far as really, you know, jumping in there like that, I tell you what, that book put the fear of God in me. So maybe that's what they need to do, get that book and give it to every kid, because he never had a talk with me, never discussed it. Here's the big OBGYN doctor, okay? But that book scared me to death. Tell you what.
I may have a similar story. That was goody two shoes here, because I was not. But
right.
I was kind of terrified of, you know, back in my day, and it feels like another century ago compared to today. You know, if someone was pregnant in my school, it was the gossip of the town. It was like some 15-year-old was pregnant. Oh, my Lord, everybody knew who it was, their name, and Lord knows. So I was always being told, don't bring any shame in this house, meaning do not get pregnant. So I had a fear of that. It's not because I didn't want to. I mean, Lord, I had pictured David Cassidy on the ceiling above my bed, which my parents weren't too happy. They weren't happy with that. Why do you need it above your bed? Yeah, okay. No, I didn't do anything until I was about 20 years old. And I mean, I didn't have intercourse. That's what I mean. Which, looking back on my life, I'm fairly open-minded. I don't even know how that was even possible. But I went to Catholic schools. In Catholic schools back then, they separated the boys and the girls. I mean, you even played in separate playgrounds. I mean, you talk about things that are not supposed to be or forbidden, or you didn't play with boys and, you know, all kind. There was a whole bunch of rules and regulations which you know, you realize they're like BS in the end. But anyway, that was part of my upbringing back in the day. But going back to what you said about consent, when my son was about 14, he was, you know, had girls running after him. And I remember this one little girl, Katie. Now, Katie was 13, okay, looked about 17. I mean, she was dressed and had makeup and God knows what, way too sexy for a 13-year-old, okay? And I went to, I remember Eckerd's was around then, not Walgreens. I went to Eckerd's and I go, okay, what size condoms do I buy for a 14-year-old? And I did buy some, I can't remember what size I bought, and I said this to my son. I said, if you make a mistake, it would be a costly one, and I'm not encouraging it, but this, and I remember I was married at the time, and my ex-husband threw them away, and I went and bought some more, because I was terrified. I mean, we had girls coming to the door that were like half naked with titties and everything, okay, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, they don't look like children, okay? They look like mini adults who are, got it all going on. So I was kind of terrified. And of course, my son, you know, was very cute and, you know, at that age, and he was all full of it because the girls were running after him. And I thought, oh, Lord, I do not want a parent knocking on my door. So I actually did buy him condoms. And I know other people don't agree with that. I really don't care. You have to be responsible for your children, too, when they're young. So I did do that because I was afraid that something not would happen in my house because the bedroom door to stay open. I didn't believe that in the house, but, you know, somebody's going to get up to something, they're going to do it somewhere, and it's not necessarily going to be within reach of you. So I did talk to my son about, in fact, I was the only person who talked to my son about sex education, and I did tell him all the uglies. I told him all the ugly side, and it's not that I didn't say it can be a beautiful experience. You know, I wouldn't do that. But I did really point out the ramifications of having sex too young. And you know, like you know as well as I do, you can get cervical cancer. If you're having regular sexual partners at 12 and 13 years old, there's a very high percentage of people that can get cervical cancer for having sex too young. And I don't think that is preached enough, if you like. I think young people, yeah, they need to know the dangers of, apart from getting pregnant and you can't keep a child, much less they're a child because you're in a child's body. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't have all the answers. None of us do. But this thing about sex education in schools, if I were the parents, I would be more active in that. Don't just read the flyer when it comes home with your child. Actually go to the school and find out what they're actually saying to your children and how it's being given to them. And I tell you what would be a better idea if they separated the boys and the girls when they have sex education, because it's embarrassing. You've got young people there, and they're going to be talking about intimate, as graphic as it seems right now. So maybe they should separate the girls and boys for those classes. And it'll be less embarrassing and easier without, don't you think? I mean,
That's how they did for us. They separated us. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, the thing that helped me.
Well, I went to girls' school, so no.
Yeah, well, they separate the boys from the girls, but, you know, it's really funny. Here's my dad's the doctor, right? He doesn't say a word to me about sex, but my mother was such a trooper because I was a very inquisitive child. You know, I would ask anything about anything. My mother answered every question. She never once blushed. She never got flustered. You know, my mother and I openly talked about sex. Now, we didn't go into graphic details, you know, like oral sex and stuff, but any question I had about sexuality or people having sex or what's a French kiss? Now, that one she did throw to my dad. I have to tell you about that. But my mother was very, very open. What cracks me up, one story, I'll never forget this. I was in seventh grade, and kids were talking about French kissing, okay? And I'd never been kissed in seventh grade, and I was like, French kissing, what is that? Because I was taking Spanish classes, but French classes, you know, I'm like, French kissing, what is that? So I came home from school. You know, I'm not that international. I grew up in the South, okay? But anyway, I come home from school, so I asked Mom, I said, Mom, some kids are talking about kissing. And she goes, okay. And I said, what's French kissing? And she says, French kissing? I said, yeah. I mean, I take Spanish, but, I mean, what is the difference between American kissing or Spanish kissing or French kissing? And she started laughing. She says, I tell you what. And it was, you know, my parents were divorced. So Dad got us every weekend or every other weekend or whatever it was. And if he was picking us up that night, like in a, this is like on a Friday. She says, I tell you what. Your dad's the doctor. I want you to, when you're with your dad, you ask your dad to explain all about French kissing to you, okay? I know that's a joke. She was really loving it, but I didn't, I'm just a kid. I didn't know, but I'm sure my mother was peeing in her pants laughing at that one. She threw that one to my dad, okay? The big doctor who wouldn't even talk about sex, right? So I'll never forget. We were, Dad had picked us up, and I, he had a sports car, so he had, like, bucket seats. So I was the oldest, so I got to sit up front, and the other three kids were in the back. So we're driving, you know, it's late, it's dark outside, and he's picked us up. And we had just gone out to LSU to this hamburger joint that my dad dearly loved. It's the old-timey hamburgers and curly Q fries and chocolate malt. So on our way back, I said, Dad, Mama told me to ask you something. He said, okay, what's that? And I said, today at school, some kids were talking about French kissing. And I said, I know we're Americans and everything, and I know I take Spanish, but I asked Mom, what's the difference between American kissing, Spanish kissing, and French kissing? So she told me that when I was with you tonight to ask you all about French kissing, you'd explain it to me. My dad turned white as a ghost. I could see him in the car. He had to pull off the road. We have some lakes out by LSU. He had to pull off in the lakes, and he stopped the car. He goes, has somebody tried to French kiss you? You tell me right now, has somebody tried to French kiss you? I said, nobody's ever kissed me, Dad. I said, but what is it? He goes, well, and your mama told you to ask me? And I was like, yeah. Here's the big doctor, can't even talk about sex to the OBGYN doctor, you know? He goes, well, let me put it to you this way, sweetheart. Two things you got to remember about that. And I said, okay. He goes, no, you got to promise me. And I said, okay, I promise. He goes, number one is, if anybody tries to French kiss you, you better come tell me immediately. I said, well, what is it? He goes, oh, you'll know it if it happens to you. And the second thing is, you are not allowed to do French kissing until after you're married. He said, so you promised me. And I said, okay, but what is it? He goes, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know for now. But if anybody tries to French kiss you, I want their name and phone number, and you promise me you won't do it until after you're married. I said, okay. So when the weekend was over, my mom said, well, did you talk to your dad about American kissing and French kissing? I said, yeah. And she said, well, what did he tell you? When I told her, she was on the floor, tears rolling down her face.
I have a funny story about that. My son was 7 years old, and I had some neighbors in. They'd come in the afternoon, and I made some tea, and we were just chit-chatting. Nice day here in Florida. And my son comes home from school. We used to live literally 5 minutes walk, okay? And he used to walk home with another little boy. So he comes in the door, and he says, Mommy, I know what French kissing is. And then myself and two other neighbors, and I'm thinking, oh, God. You know, when he said that. So I said, okay, you tell me what French kissing is. And he came up to me, and he kissed me on both sides. He goes, you kiss this cheek, and then you go over and you kiss this cheek. And I go, that's exactly right. My son and I, we laughed about that. That's why I said to him, that's exactly right. You got that right. I was thinking the other thing, and it wasn't. But I don't know. I think I think sex education can be taught, because for anybody tuning in now, and there's some people up there now, we talked about sexuality in the schools tonight, and kind of horrifying at some of the results of what they're teaching in today's world. I mean, really horrifying. So And surprising to me as well, especially me. I mean, I just came here. I always thought this was, you know, because there's parts of this country, because you know my Amish story, where I thought they were, you know, in a movie.
Oh, gosh,
and,
yeah.
I want to tell people listen. So I go, I'm traveling around the States, you know, forgive my ignorance, people, okay? So I don't even, Amish, that's what they're called, not Amish, Amish. So I come across these people, and they're on a car and the horses, and they've got these long dresses on and the bonnets, and I'm thinking, oh, they must be making a movie here. Everybody's all, you know, dressed up. And here's me with my red nail varnish and whatever, and short skirt, just everything, okay, everything the total opposite to that. So I'm going, oh, can I take some photographs? What's the movie you're making? Blah, blah, blah. I'm going 10 to the dozen thinking all excited that they must be making a movie and these people were in the role. And I'm taking all these photographs and they're all poker faced. And then one person says to me, we're not making them, we're Amish. And, of course, I was still none the wiser. I didn't have a clue what the hell that was. But nevertheless, I was all delighted and excited. And they looked at me like I was from another planet. So I've never forgotten that. I think
yeah, because they don't like to have their picture taken at all.
I know, yeah, they give me snapping shots. So I'm like, oh, yeah, can we just get one of you grouped together? And they're all looking at me with, it reminded me of the photographs when nobody smiled when the photographs were black and white. And, yeah. And people looked like they were going into a funeral. Those are the photographs I had from that because nobody was smiling and I was thinking, oh, why, you know, I'm thinking, oh, they're in a movie. Oh, great. This is exciting. Me and my little mini skirt, my little denim mini skirt that I had on and my makeup and my red nails and the whole nine. I'm just thinking back of that. They must have been horrified.
That's probably still talking about you, Rosemary.
Do you remember that woman that came and took photographs of us? I think, you know, I'm thinking, oh my God. So, anyway, that was my experience. So, I mean, that's what I think. I think, you know, I came here, and this is a country of many traditions, and I did tell you that a lot of Americans are very prudy. I thought, oh, they're kind of prudy here. I soon discovered differently. I mean, I have dated a few men since I've been here. so not
right.
Exactly prudy. But,
well,
yeah, you do.
Think about it. One
but
of the groups of people that came here was the Pilgrims were the Puritans. I mean, that's the people who came here, the Puritans from England. The stuffy ones. That's who
the
came.
Stuffy
that's
ones,
what the
yeah.
Pilgrims were, the Puritans. So that's,
I just think there's a limit to everything. And what we talked about tonight here, the sex education, is that there's a limit. There's a fine line here of what is really acceptable and what is just education. You know, teaching children oral sex here and actually detailed oral sex, okay?
Yep.
And the stimulation of genitalia to get sexual pleasure is not for children. I'm sorry, it's just not. And and that horrifies me. It really does. I mean, I feel like I'm really old and stuffy now to be saying such a thing, but I don't agree with
no.
that.
I think it's
you know,
just the opposite. It shows you how
yeah.
crazy things have gotten to where it's so out of balance because
yeah.
where do you draw the line? I mean, where do people draw the line and what kind of school board would vote that's part of the curriculum? Because when this came out on the news, Rosemary, there were people protesting. There were parents who did not want their children to participate in this. And they were told, your children have to participate or we'll suspend them from school. They were actually bullying and threatening suspension to these parents about the education of their own children. They totally took the legal... They took sex education out of the parents' hands and were demanding that the school teach it the way they saw fit, or your kid wasn't allowed to go to school. I mean, talking about intimidation, bullying, and some kind of wacko crazy people being in control. That's the part I can't wrap my head around.
That's very scary. Yeah.
Yeah. That people would have, first of all, that would be their agenda to think that's appropriate. What kind of adult thinks that's appropriate? And secondly, to be on such a power trip and so adamant about it, I really question the mental capacity of the people that would create that curriculum and then force it on these children. I really would mentally be looking at these people psychologically. because that's not normal. That there's something wrong with that. I'm not being funny. There's something absolutely wrong mentally with someone who would do that to a child. That's on the verge of pedophilia.
Yeah, but you know what? This is what I think too. Don't you feel that more and more rules are being made that people are not allowed to have a voice? I mean, you think about some of the things, or even, I know we don't want to talk about government things tonight, but you think about the things that are done. It doesn't make big news, but they are actually in the big picture really important. And to me, this thing with schools is just one more thing. I remember that when I talk about schools, my son was about 9, and we lived in a really nice neighborhood. And this is not looking down on people who don't, okay? But we lived in a very nice neighborhood, and the school was literally 6 minutes walk around the corner. You didn't even have to get a school bus. And some bright spark decided that they were going to take half the children from that school and take them to Ybor City School. And I'm sorry if anybody from Ybor City is listening, but it's rough, okay? We're talking rough. We're talking gangs and bars on the windows of the houses and cussing and drugs and you name it, okay, goes on there, and fights. And they wanted to take, my son's class was one of the classes they were going to have up. And they were going to bus, my child would have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to go to a school halfway across Tampa here, the other side of Tampa, to go to a rough school, okay? I'm sorry if that offends people, but that was the truth of it. And I protested. I got other parents to protest with me, and I said, if you don't yield to this, then I'm taking my son out of school and I'm doing homeschooling. There was not a chance in hell I was going to put my child through getting up in the middle of the night, taking him to a really bad area to go to school, which it would not benefit anything, when we moved to a neighborhood so my son could go to a decent school. So, you know, that's what every parent wants for their child. I don't care who you are. You want your child to be safe at school. You don't want them to be involved in anything bad. And you're going to do the best you can as to where you live. And I protested. I've always been like, I think I'm militant. That's the word you use. So I knew that I was going to kick up my heels about that. That was not going to happen.
Right.
I would have taken my son out of school. You will not tell me what I'm going to do with my child, but and as far as I'm concerned, put my son in danger. So,
I have to absolutely agree with you, but our liberties and our freedoms over the last 30, 40 years are totally being eroded. And if you look at this as an example of taking, you know, another liberty and freedom away from a parent and the government demanding and telling you how to raise your children, think about the three. There's three major freedoms that Americans have right now that are under attack from the government. That's freedom of speech. You know, now we're being told what's politically correct to say and what you can't say. Freedom of religion. For example, the current administration has said that Christianity cannot be discussed in the military. They're now being told they can't say Merry Christmas. There's only certain music that can be played, and they can't have Christmas trees at the VA centers now this year. Our right to bear – yeah, the government has the executive orders were written that – you can't have Christmas carols, you can't say Merry Christmas, you can't have Christmas trees at the VA, and that they've actually trying to do away with all the chaplains in the military, and they're not allowed to talk Bible, and they're not allowed to discuss, the soldiers are not allowed now, their freedom of speech and religion, they're not allowed to talk about their faith in public. They can't discourse amongst themselves. They're whatever, whether they're Muslim or Christian, they're not allowed to speak about their religious beliefs out loud in public to one another. So our military, their right to free speech and their right to religious freedom has been taken away. And the third right that's been attacked now is the right to bear arms and protect ourselves as U.S. citizens, and our national security has been threatened. Is being threatened. So when you look at government, this talking about the sexual education of your own child and what school your child should go to for safety and for academic reasons, government has gotten so controlling now that this is not America. This is not the America I grew up in. You know, politically correct, that's just another way of brainwashing people for a certain agenda. That's another way of making people, look at all the college campuses with the kids now. You realize they're banning yoga classes because white people created it, and they're saying that's a cultural thing of Western supremacy, and white people on campuses are not going to be able to go to the yoga classes. That's what the Black Lives What Matter is doing now. So you know what these kids did? The Black Lives Matter came on that campus, and the kids in the library, and they started calling all the white kids F you this, and they started chanting when these kids are trying to study, right? So you know what the white kids did? They formed a White Lives Matter group because they got the Black Lives Matter. Well, you know what happened? The administration came down and told the white kids they can't have a White Lives Matter group. What's the hypocrisy in that?
Yeah, there's
an agenda going on here.
Yeah, it's a good job I'm not the parent. And I really don't care what color you are. What is right is right. That's all there is to it. What's right is right. It's not, you can't have an excuse for everything. I mean, look at me. I live here. I love this country. And I've been here a long time. And I know that England was tyrannical when it was here before you had Independence Day, okay?
Right.
I know it doesn't make any difference to me. I'm living here and now. So it's kind of in how I behave is in the here and now. So you can't go back and say it's not fair. If you're having equal opportunity in a school, you have the same teachers, same everything, and you have an opportunity to learn or not, it doesn't really matter what happened 400 years ago. What matters is how unfortunate we all are living the times that we do now. And
right.
It is not to be up in arms assuming that you are less than, because you're actually saying that you're less than when you are protesting. What are you protesting about, really? Okay,
right.
So it's kind of, you know, everybody has equal opportunity. And even though there's tons of unfairness in the world, it's not just one color or another. There's all kinds of unfairness. There are things that happen, injustices, and things that aren't done in the court system that are wrong. I mean, there's all kinds, and that's all colors, okay, that have to experience that. So what you do is that you thank God for your life, and you thank God for this wonderful country, and hopefully it will stay this way, okay, and be glad of every opportunity that you have, because it's a lot worse elsewhere.
Right.
I do not understand half the things that go on here. I think, what the hell? When I see people rising up and, we have to love one another. I know that we've got some callers that we have to take here. I do understand, although I know that we talked about sexuality in America, but I just want to say one thing about the ISIS thing. This is the one time in history that we should all band together as people here in this country and love one another and stand beside each other as strong people to fight for the freedom of this country and the way that we live. This is the one time that you do not need to be doing anything, because you can be absolutely sure that these people, these monsters, okay, I can think of worse words that I'm not going to say it on the air.
Right.
These are people that are going to come and blow up this country when you least expect it. They're going to do what they did in France, not just here, but everywhere. And this is a time that Americans and the people that love this country should band together and not be fighting each other, okay? This is not a time for that, because you're going to have more of those terrorists, and they are going to put fear in the hearts of you by you making it, we won't go to a theater, or we won't do this, or we won't do that, what if. And they'll try and take your away your form of life so you live in fear, and then they'll take away your food source by blowing up your roads and your railroads and putting the fear of God in people. This is not a time to be fearful. This is a time to stand up and go, okay, we're not going to allow this to happen. There's more of us than there are of them. There's not a living person here that would not defend their home, their children, and their rights, not one. So I want you to remember that as we're going into Thanksgiving and Christmas, that no matter what happens, whatever horrible plan they have next, that we are still strong as a country. There's a reason that the symbol of the eagle is the symbol of this country, and you never, never need to forget that.
I didn't intend
to say that because we're talking about.
You know, I want to add to that real quickly. What people need to wake up and realize is that there's a true spiritual war going on in the world. We're at World War III. This is World War III. I'm not worried about Russia or China hitting us with nuclear weapons because they know we'll annihilate them too, and then nobody wins. It's the rogue people that we have to worry about. But the thing that people have to come to grips with here in America is that we have to stand together. We have to unite. And all of these college campuses with the Black Lives Matter, all the protesting, all of the war against cops, the rebel flag, all of these things that have been happening to us are intentionally being inflicted upon our society because they're trying to divide us. This is an agenda intentionally premeditated, a premeditated plan for America to start fighting amongst ourselves, to get angry at each other, to start dividing, because the only way you can take down the United States of America is from the inside out by dividing and conquering. So people have to realize this is a spiritual war, and it truly is against good against evil, and I very rarely use the word evil, but this truly is. What is happening to our country are certain people in our government are trying to divide us so that they can conquer us. And America is the only free country left in the world that is on the world stage that has such an impact on every human being on the planet. If America falls, the world will be thrown back into the Middle Ages of darkness and barbarism, because that's the people who are coming after us. That is their agenda. America is the last bastion of freedom on the planet Earth. And so, people, please, talk to your friends about it. Talk to your relatives. Talk to everyone. We have to stand together united, because united, no one can conquer us. Divided, we will fall. So, America, we cannot buy into this anger against black against white, Hispanics against everybody, cops against the black people. We can't buy into that, because our government and people in power, that's what they're deliberately trying to do to us. This is all a game plan, and it's being played out perfectly. Do not buy into the hate. Remember what America was founded for, freedom. Look at all the good. We're never, ever told how good America is anymore. People are just always ragging on us. There would not be free countries around the world without America. We stood up in World War I, World War II. We were the ones that came, and we would not have a free Europe if it weren't for America. They would all be under communist rule right now, or the Nazi dictatorship. Americans will have laid down their life, lost their lives for strangers in other parts of the world so that there can be freedom on this planet. And don't forget the American flag, the eagle, and every one of our veterans who every single day are willing to lay down and die for strangers like you and me so that we can have Thanksgiving turkey, and we can watch Dancing with the Stars, and we can have a free school and a free society. There are people right now on the line, in the cold, in the dark, with a machine gun, fighting enemies so that you and I can talk on the radio and have fun. So please do not for one second let this race baiting of Al Sharpton and all of these people, do not let this divide Americans. Do not buy into the stuff on the media. Please remember who we are as a people. We are good, strong people. We have faith in God and faith in ourselves, and we have faith in humanity, and we have faith in one another. So don't let any of these people divide us and conquer us, because the only way we're going to be destroyed is if we do it to ourselves. So please, don't worry about the coffee cups, and don't worry about the little trivial things. Stand together, because one day, and it's not long, we're going to have to, every single human being on this North American continent is going to have to make a choice on which side they're on. Are they with America, or are they against America? And we're going to be put to the test, everyone. So please, our founding fathers gave up all their lands, their property. They were tortured. They were killed. Many died in poverty to write that U.S. Constitution. They gave up their life's blood. Their families were separated, so there was a Bill of Rights. so that this baby country could grow into something magnificent. And we are magnificent. We are wonderful. And that's not egotistical. That's from the goodness and the kindheartedness of American people. So please, please, that's the last time I'm going to say it. Do not allow yourself to believe this garbage about the anger and the distinction and the division and all the things that are happening to us. We're better than that. What's happening to us is temporary. Good always wins. And I just want people to remember that and love each other, help each other, and get ready to fight, because we're going to have to fight on many different levels, not just war-wise. We're having to fight for our freedoms that are being taken away, and we have to fight for being an American. So I love everybody. I'm going to be quiet now, but please just don't buy into the anger, because what the government wants us to do, and this is my last sentence, what the government's plan is this, and Spirit has shown me this. I mean, I don't talk about this, but Spirit has shown me world predictions for 15 years now. Everything's coming true right now that they showed me 14, 15 years ago. It's all happening now, and this is the plan. Okay, to take America down, we have to fight against ourselves and one another. And what they want us to do is to start bringing arms, like in Florida and Texas. There's these mosques that people went with their AK-47s and surrounded the mosque and were protesting the Muslims in their mosque. That's what the government wants. They want the American citizens to fire the first shots to start a civil war so they can declare martial law and confiscate our weapons and destroy us from the inside out. So any of you who know bikers, who know militia people, please tell them don't fire the first shot. That's what the administration wants. They want us to fire the first shot. So please, please, please remember that. And have a happy Thanksgiving. I'm going to be quiet now. I love America. God bless America. I'm a true blue-blooded Southern American, and I'm proud of it.
Okay, yes, you are. And I'm going to be an American citizen in about 4 months from now.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
I know,
you.
About time after 37 years. I'll probably be more verbal than ever then.
Yeah, you're going to be more military and radical than I ever thought about being.
I know. And
you appreciate it.
Yeah, you never get psychics or spiritual people talking about some of the things that Pat and I talk about, but we feel a lot of the things are very important to our future and your future and all the rest of it. And that's why I know that's not our subject matter tonight, but that's why we're talking about controversial things in the coming weeks and what we started with, which nobody seemed to object about. But I'm going to say there's not many callers online tonight because Dancing with the Stars is on, and I love it too. And I'm going to see the rest of it when I get off the radio. Anyway.
We can cut the show short, you know.
What I want to tell people, okay, this show is on, let's just say this before I take the first call. This show is on every week from 8 o'clock till 9:30. And my show, The Third Eye, is on the next day. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the full moon, which is, I understand now, is as powerful as the new moon we just had. In fact, this full moon is known as the Royal Code. And there's a secret number with that and the whole nine yards, and I will be talking about that tomorrow. I actually like to talk about moon phases and what they mean. So apparently this full moon sets a precedence for our wants, our ambitions, or everything for 2016. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow, and that's from 7 until 8:30 tomorrow. And then Pat has her show on Thursdays, which – say the time, Pat, because I get confused. What time is it on?
Well, I was going to do it. We had announced that we were going to do it Friday night because Thursday's Thanksgiving, but Amelia was really wanting us to do it. She really feels it would be good that we go ahead and do it Thursday night. So even though it's Thanksgiving, after you've had your pie and maybe you want to take an hour to relax, the show will be 8 o'clock Central. And it's usually a two-hour show. I don't know how long I'm going to go Thursday night, but... my show starts on Blog Talk. It's River Spirit Messages. It starts at 8 o'clock Central, 9 Eastern. And so if you go to River Spirit Messages on Facebook, you can like the page and find out. And my phone number for a private reading is 918-623-0064. Or you can email me at patrivers13 patrattrivers33@gmail.com, and that's Pat with two T's. So it's patrattrivers33@gmail.com. And please don't text me. I live out in the country, and we don't even have cell phones out here. So many times people keep saying, I sent you a text. So I keep repeating that, no text. I've never even seen or done a text in my life.
Okay, well, I'll just give my number up, too, 727-524-1010, and my website is rosemaryfalk.com. Okay, so we're going to take our callers here because time's getting on. And I know this lady here has been very patient, almost from the beginning. This is a Skype caller, been on air 52 minutes. So thank you for listening and hanging in there. Hello.
Hi, Rosemary. Hi, Pat.
Hey,
it's, Pat, I had a private reading with you last month.
Oh, well, I didn't hear your name. You said, is this Sue?
Jane.
Oh, Jane. Okay. Hey, yeah, I couldn't hear your name.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Up there cold in Canada? Aren't you in Canada?
Yeah, it's cold.
Oh,
God. Getting snow.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just need some clarity and your insight on my work situation. I'm trying to deal with the situation at work. You know, things have gone too far now. Like, you know, I'm, you know, being harassed and.
Well, too, since I did that reading for you, I'm gonna let Rosemary go first. How about that? Because since I've already talked to you, I'll let her go.
Jane,
okay,
what is your? Pardon?
Oh, sorry,
what
you're cutting out.
Yeah, what is your name?
Jane.
Jane? Okay. So you're talking about your work situation here? Okay, All right. So at this moment in time, I think what's coming up is going to be a severance here. That's what I'm thinking. There's a lot of pressure here. I just want to make sure if this is not something else I'm looking at. So I'm going to ask if you leave the job that you're in. I do really feel that you're not going to stay in that job. For some reason, is the issue about money? Because I'm not seeing you making very much money here.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't had a raise at all.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when people, when they give you something or if they give you something and then they give you twice as much work. So then you're not really making anything because now you're actually earning every penny anyway. It's not like somebody, you're doing a job and they say, wow, here you did a good job. We're going to give you a raise and still doing the same job. These people want blood from a stone from you. And I don't see you doing that. I think on an emotional level, it's a little difficult for you to, I know you can ride the storm because you have free will, okay? You can do whatever you wish. But I actually feel that there's a severance coming, and I feel like it's on your part, only because on an emotional level, you're going to feel like you can't win. This, to me, feels like a no-win situation. It's not even like, you know, sometimes when people, they think, okay, let's go back to the drawing board, let's sit down, let's discuss it, let's be adult. I don't see that. I just feel a no-win situation. It's like, this is the way it is. Don't like it, then you know what you can do. This is not. This is like bullying rather than adult conversation within a business. And so you're dealing with children in schoolyard, okay, rather than adult people. And I think once you make this decision to, okay, enough's enough, I'm not going to live like this, I'm not happy, you're going to be happy. That's what I feel. I think you'll make a decision. Nobody wants to do that because we don't. Nobody wants change. I mean, there are dozens of people out there that want a job all the time. When am I going to get a job? And it's months. And, you know, so it's a little scary here in the work world. But I don't feel that you do well. I feel that you have opportunity come along for you. I think something new and exciting is going to be on the horizon for you. And I actually think, let me see if you're going to leave. I don't feel that it's going to be before Christmas, and we are sort of on top of Christmas, okay? But I do think into next year, and I usually give windows of time, so I'm going to say between maybe the middle of January And the very latest, the end of March, that 3 month window, you're going to find something new, and you're going to be so much happier when you do. I'm feeling like yes, okay, at last, yes. I do not feel anything bad. I just don't think that you should stay there. That's all. So I guess altogether from now until March is like a 5 month window, but within that time frame, you will wake up one morning and go, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore. And you're going to look for something else, and you're going to be gone. That's my personal feeling on it. But you still have free will.
Yeah, it's just what I have to deal with until I get a new job. It's just like things are going too far now. Like just like some inappropriate and rude comments have been made, you know,
right.
Even some superiors.
So they didn't let you work at home yet then?
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't. Well, I asked, I asked second time. Pat, you told me the third time I asked, they let me. But the second time I asked the director, and then I spoke to my manager about it, but he never got back to me. He said he would speak to the director. But he said, oh, maybe in a few months we'll let you work from home. But, you know.
Right. Well, that's more or less Rosemary said. It's kind of what I told you. It was going to be spring, and you'd have a couple more opportunities to go with a totally different business company and all.
It's just what I have to deal with now until I find a new job. It's just, you
right.
know, like,
yeah, remember what I
worse.
Told you about me? I just put my head down. I did my job. I didn't interact with people any more than I had to. I smiled. I was pleasant. No one can consider me being rude. But I just did what I had to do, and I was like a turtle, just go into my little shell. No one can bother me. I did my job, and I would get my paycheck and go on. So there comes a point where we can't let our emotions, we talked about that, you can't let your emotions run your life because they'll ruin your life. And just when you get to the point that you can emotionally realize that these people are treating you how they really feel about themselves, they're very unhappy, miserable people. And what happens is they see your light, they see your goodness, and they're jealous, and they're just like poking at you, just like a little kid in the schoolyard, because they're not happy. And it's like it's kind of like in psychology, if you've ever heard about, if you've studied psychology, there's a phenomenon that's called the mob mentality. And what it is, you can take very nice, everyday, normal people, and under the right psychological situation, you can turn it into a mob of murderous people, because you'll have a leader, and then you have a second in control. And they're the dominant
yeah.
personalities. And so what's happening to that is what's happening to you. You've started with one or two dominant people that push and push, and you don't really push back. And then they can take these other people, and it's easier for the other people to go along with the flow instead of fighting.
Yeah.
That's human nature. Mm-hmm. That is human nature in a group of people. You're going to have a couple leaders and then a bunch of followers. And that's the situation you're in. It started off with just one or two people. Now they've got the whole gang. Right?
Yeah. Supervisor and a coworker.
And you can't change them. So all you can do is change how you react to it and keep looking for another job, like we talked about.
Yeah, I've been ignoring what they're doing.
Well, the thing is, you've been taking it personally, and you really have to accept the fact that that is a reflection of them. Anybody who would treat another person and say and do what they do, they're not nice people. They're not happy. Because when you're happy and you know who you are and you're good with God, it doesn't even enter your mind to be cruel or mean to another human being. That's not even the way you look at the world. So when people act like that, I look at it kind of as an experiment. I can see that person's not very spiritually evolved and they're very unhappy. And that's the end of it. I don't let it go into me.
Yeah, well, I want to report them to HR, but I don't know if it's a good idea or not. Because,
yeah, we
again,
talked about that. Yeah. I would just say keep looking for another job. You know, that's really your options. Because I agree with you. I just don't see you staying there. So we'll just keep informed and let us know what happens. But just really realize this is lessons that they're having to learn, because look at it. They're being given the opportunity to do things in a different way. They could be nice. They could be kind. They could be compassionate, but they're all flunking the test. You're the one who's not flunking. They are. They're the ones who aren't getting the lesson. And your lesson is not to let other people's opinions about you mean a thing to you. Like right now, I can honestly tell you, I could not care less what any person on the planet thinks about me. I couldn't care less because I know my heart. I know myself. And I know every night when I close my eyes, I really tried to help somebody that day and do good by everything and everyone around me. And I sleep really well. Because I know I don't have bad intentions towards anyone.
Well, these two people sit right where I sit, so
that's
the problem.
Right.
Yeah. You know, coming into work every day and having to deal with them.
I don't know if Rosemary has anything else to add to that, but that's just my take on it still.
No, I thought because we do have a couple of other people that we can get to before the end of the show, but I thank you for calling in, and especially the other lady still listening. I see her number on here. You know, it's a lot to listen to us chat, but I do feel like the things that we say, especially at the beginning of the spirit talk, is important. It's really usually important things that people didn't know about or they weren't aware of, and we're going to continue to do that and hopefully not take too long sometimes.
Right.
But I knew everybody was watching Dancing with the Stars tonight.
I can't see the switchboards.
I can tell by how many calls you have, and I think, that's right, the finale's on. So anyway, darling, I want to let you go, and thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Take care, Jane. Have a great Christmas.
Merry
Christmas to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so our next caller is 678927, who's been listening for 53 minutes, too. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Sierra.
Sorry, didn't hear your name.
Huh?
I didn't hear your name.
Oh, Sierra. Sierra, like Sierra Mountain, Sierra Miss.
Oh, Sierra?
Sierra?
Yes.
Oh, what a pretty name.
Thank you.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great name. Oh, how beautiful.
Thank you. I get that a lot. Thanks.
Yeah, that's
what I'm going to name. This new kitten I found a name. That's her name, Sierra.
I love it. I think
that is you. I love it.
Okay, so what is your question, Sierra?
Well, I was wondering if you guys seen me getting into nursing school. Hopefully next year at one of the colleges I'm interested in going to. So,
are you going for RN or LPN?
RN.
Okay. Do you have problems with biology for some reason?
Yeah.
Is that going to issue a class of biology?
It was the first one, yes. The second one might be okay.
Okay. I feel like, I'm just going to go ahead, Rosemary, if you don't mind. I feel like it's going to be about a year and a half, and there's something with one of the classes, so maybe it's the other biology. I'm not sure. I can only tell you what Spirit showed me. They were talking about biology. That might have been just validating to me that, you know, I'm on the right track when they brought that up. But I feel like I don't feel it's right up close, but I'm feeling like a year and a half or so. You have to get, there's some things that you have to get lined out first about financing, but also one of the classes is going to give you a little bit of problems. So I would say to you, never, ever, ever give up. I'm a registered nurse, and it's the hardest thing you'll ever do.
Wow.
Yeah, you'll love it. You've got good energy. But some of the courses are really difficult. So I would say get a tutor. Do whatever you have to do if one of the classes gives you trouble. Don't let anything stop you.
Okay.
Because to be a nurse, to go to nursing school, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's extremely difficult. I'm not going to blow smoke
out. Oh, yeah.
And the thing is perseverance. You have to have a burning desire in your gut and in your heart and in your brain that you're not going to let anything stop you. And you do whatever you have to do to make it through there.
Yeah.
So it's because you've got the brain power, but I don't know if it's math. I don't know what it is, but there's something that, like me, I can't pass algebra for whatever. I've tried to take algebra five times. So
it's the biology.
Okay. Well, I'm on the right track. So,
yeah.
Right. Well, if you need a tutor,
one,
Right. Whatever you have to do, if you have to spend 6 hours a day, you don't. You do what you have to do to get through. It's my point.
Yeah.
So good luck to you. You'll be a good nurse.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we need people that have a heart, you know, to be in nursing now. Nursing's changed a lot. So please, when you get there, don't ever be one of those nurses that are nasty to patients. You know, we're their liaison to the world, but there's so much pressure in the medical field now that so many nurses are just burned out.
Yeah, you know, and I work at the hospital as a tech, so sometimes I feel even worse than a nurse.
Yeah.
So I know.
Well, you hang in there, and good luck to you, and I'm so excited.
Thank you.
Well, this is something that you may not have thought of, Sierra, and I don't know how old you are. Can I ask you how old you are?
23.
Okay. This is going to sound wild to you, but once I was talking, I see you doing more than just being a nurse. I actually think that you may change midstream somewhere, and maybe you're going to decide to become a doctor. There's something more for you. It's almost like an epiphany thing where I see celebration and all kinds of things and your wishes being granted and all kinds of stuff. But I also see a point or a time period here where you're going to make a decision and go, do I want to do more? And you're going to. You're going to want to do more. So the reason I asked how old you were, because I know all these things take for years to do. Everything takes way too long, but I'm seeing bigger and better for you or more for you. So even if you decide to become a nurse, maybe there's an extension of that. Maybe you're going to learn something more regarding that, and you'll be head nurse or running the show or something. There's something more for you down the road. It's an ambition thing that gets a hold of you, that gets a grip of you, where you're going to go, okay, I can do that. I mean, it's almost like you know you can. So you won't just be, there's no such thing as just being a nurse, because
it's
a very hard job. That most people wouldn't have a clue what people go through to
well, you know, they could actually get a PhD and be a doctor of nursing. So that maybe that's what you're seeing.
I see you're going to do more. That's what I'm seeing. And it's not now on your doorstep, but you're still young enough, and there's some kind of drive behind you as you go forward. And I also feel that you have such a lot of encouragement. I don't feel like you come from somewhere where people think, so what? Or I feel like you have the back end of your family and everybody's proud of you and there's people that love you. I feel like it's like, yeah, go for it. You can do it. Yeah, that's my girl. I really, really feel that you can go places. So what I feel for you is a celebration of life, and you're going to do it through the profession that you have. That's what I think. I think it's great.
Yeah. She'll get a BS in nursing, and then you have to get your master's, and then you can get a PhD and be a doctorate in nursing. That's the people who usually go into the administration and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was potentially thinking about that, but, you know, working at the hospital is so exhausting. You know, I'm back and forth with a lot of,
well, I'll tell you what, when I went to nursing school back in the 70s, I'm from Louisiana, and we had one of the best nursing schools in the country. The curriculum was so strenuous, we weren't allowed to have a job, right? Well, heck, I had my own apartment, car note, and everything, so I never told them. I checked out groceries full time. I worked 40 to 50 hours a week checking out groceries. Whatever time I got out of class, I went straight to the grocery store, and I worked double shifts on the weekends, never had a day off. And never told anybody that I was doing that. Never told a soul. And we were the only job you could have was as a senior. Yeah, as a senior, you had to have permission and a certain grade point average, and they let you work as an aide in the emergency room. But I didn't tell them. I'm working full-time checking out groceries on my feet. We'd get out of the grocery store at midnight, 1 o'clock, go study, and be back at class for 6:45 in the morning. So if you want to do it in life, you can do it.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
Yep, I sure did. So that's why I tell people, if you've got the balls, excuse me, if you've got the gumption, you put those big girl panties on and you go do it, and you don't let anybody stop you. You have to have that burning desire in anything in life, not just going to school, anything. When you have a dream and you're going to make that dream come true, the only way that dream is going to come into reality is if you put your nose to the grindstone and you never give up, you put blinders on like a horse, you stay straight looking at that goal and nothing stops you. That's how we become successful and accomplish big things in life.
Yeah.
So go for it, Miss Sierra. Go for it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, too.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. Let us know what
you
happened.
You, too. Okay.
Bye.
I think you're going to do phenomenal. That's what I think.
I do, too.
Thank you. I sure hope so, because it's been a long time coming.
Well, just take your vitamins and start eating better and get more rest and quit drinking the soft drinks and you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Don't you say a word, Rosemary. Don't you say a word,
yeah,
Rosemary.
I'm going to remember that name now. That's Sierra. I think that's such a beautiful name. I'm going to remember that. Yeah, because people call their kids all kinds of nonsense these days. That's such a great name. And
I know. I love it.
It's very modern, and it's spiritual. It's everything. Oh, I think it's a beautiful name. Anyway,
I was telling Rosemary not the same thing because I live on Dr. Pepper and string cheese. I was afraid when I'm telling you to eat better,
wow,
she's going to say something.
Right. Okay, we're going to take all right, so good night and have a happy Thanksgiving and
good
happy
night. Thank you.
So take this other call. All right, thank you. Bye.
Goodbye.
Okay, 318-789. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
What is your name?
It's Ella Louise.
Ms.
Louise. Oh, Ella Louise. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ella Louise. I like that too. That's
Ella
pretty.
Louise.
Yeah.
Thank
that's
you.
That's another beautiful name. Oh,
yeah, that's
wow.
The other cat's name. Good. I've got both the cat's name tonight.
I'm
Sierra
sorry?
And Ella.
So Ella Louise, what is your question?
Well, I would like to know what's coming up for me.
You have
okay,
a more specific
so
question?
What are you, yeah, just keep it to sort of a question because we're sort of at the end of the show now.
Okay. What's coming up for me in my career?
Okay, work issues. Okay, are you at a crossroads now, actually, I know you're asking the question what's coming up, but I'm wondering if, I'm thinking that there's going to be a change here, okay? And I think it's a change that you are expecting or you're going to do. There's somewhat of a destiny thing here. I'm also feeling, are you either not working or you're not making enough money? I'm seeing like low money here, like low income.
Not at the moment.
Okay, you're not working, right?
I do have a job that I did just start.
Right. But you're not making great money, right?
Not the money that I hope I would. It took a really big leap, so I'm hoping it's the right decision.
I think this is what I think. I think you're going to make a decision not to stay in it. Okay, it's not that. I want to just explain this. Sometimes when we do things, we think, okay, why did I do that? Blah blah blah. Every step of our journey in this life is for us to learn. What we don't like, what we do like, there is really not such a thing as a big mistake or should I have done it. When we do things or like you're taking this and you think, okay, I want to try this. This is the right thing for me. I think you're going to find that it's not the right thing for you, that you're emotionally never going to quite get on board with it and you're going to do something different. But were you supposed to have this experience? You were supposed to have the experience, okay? So that means that you'll know and learn from that, and you'll move on to what you do want. I just don't see somehow it's just not enough where you're at to be fulfilling. It's kind of like taking a job and you go, okay, this isn't quite what I thought that it was, or it's not going the direction I want, and so you'll move. But it doesn't mean it was a mistake. It just means it's a learning experience. And mm-hmm. it might even be for the people that you met or things that you learned that you didn't know before. So there's always a reason, even though we don't always see it at the time. So I don't feel, you know, in answer to your question, so to speak, I don't feel mm-hmm. that you're going to stay in this job. And I do think that when you are going to leave, to me it feels like beginning of summer, end of spring, summer. It may be springtime, but somehow it feels to me, okay, more towards the summer. So you will leave because you're going to give this a chance here, not just in and out the door, but mm-hmm. you're stay. And that's what I feel about career. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad. I see also reconciliation with somebody you haven't seen in a while, too. And that might be well because it's Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything else, but might just be that, just to touch on that. So what do you think?
Yeah.
Of that?
Well, several different things have come through. I'm going to talk really fast here because I don't want them to cut us off. They're talking about more education or in a different learning something different, and I keep hearing law, paralegal. I don't think that's what you're doing at all, but they're saying that maybe an opportunity for you to kind of get out of what you're doing now and look at something totally different. I feel like the field of work you're in, it's one of these, what you've chosen to do, it's one of these situations where it's not something from the heart and you don't really feel like you're really helping a lot. What is it that you do exactly? Because I keep hearing contract work, but everybody calls with contract work, so I'm not sure that's accurate.
I'm a bartender.
Okay. I just feel like going to school, I feel like that's what they're saying. You need more education. And, you know, there's ways to make a really good salary that don't take a lot of time, like court reporting, for example. A lot of nurses decide to become a court reporter. They got burned out in nursing. You take like a 3 to 4 month or 6 month class, and you're making $60,000, $70,000 a year. You know, I just feel like you need more education, and that's what they're saying, paralegal. There's courses you can take and work for a law firm and do a lot of detail work to where you can actually make a difference in your life and have the things that you want.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Or get yourself some business education and open your own bar one day. But you're the kind of person, you need to be in charge and control. You're not just a follower. You kind of do go with the flow, but your true nature is one of leadership, even though sometimes you're solitary, you like to be alone and there's solitary. You're still the kind of person that kind of needs to chart your own course. You think outside the box. You're not one of the masses, okay? You've
mm-hmm.
got too much creativity for that, and you need to start honoring yourself and honoring your gifts because you haven't. There's people in the past that have put you down and you believed it or you didn't want to fight back. You don't always stand up for yourself. You let people take advantage of you, and then you get angry, and it's just all that drama, drama, drama sometimes. So the point is, get a piece of paper, write what your goals are in life, and start working towards it because you kind of float from one thing to the other, here, there, and you don't always get traction. So the way we get over that is set a goal, and we have to be disciplined, and we have to really decide to persevere, and we're going to put our energy in the direction of moving forward. So you're the kind of person, once you make up your mind to do something, you're going to go far, but you just need to go back to school. I even saw a thing on medical coding on the internet yesterday. You take 6 months of medical coding classes, and they're making $80,000 a year.
Right.
So I just feel like schools where you need to figure out what it is you want to do, but you need more schooling. That's what they're telling me.
Okay.
And believe in yourself and quit listening to other people.
Thank you.
Did you put purple highlights in your hair, or does someone around you have dark hair with the purple in it?
No.
I've never seen that in my life. I don't know what the heck that is. You may have
purple.
Someone that's a friend at you get together, and they're one of those people that put the weird colors in their hair. You know what I'm saying?
There is this girl at my job with bluish, grayish hair.
Well, maybe that's what I'm picking up. It was just a weird color hair.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out for that.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, you're welcome.
You'll have a good night.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
So Pat, give out your phone number.
Okay, it's 918-623-0064.
And my phone number is 727-524-1010. And my website is rosemarytalks.com. I'll be on tomorrow night with all the new information about the full moon tomorrow, full moon in Gemini, which is supposed to be very exciting. There's a full moon out right now, but it's supposed to crescendo tomorrow, so that's why I'm talking about it. And Pat's also got a show on at, is it 8 or 9 Central? Is that the time?
It's 8 Central, 9 Eastern on Thursday.
Okay, 9 Eastern.
River Spirit Messages.
Okay, so that's River Spirit Messages, and I might only do like an hour show tomorrow. It just depends. I know everybody's busy with Thanksgiving and people cooking and not so many people listen to the radio. So I might just do an hour tomorrow. But all right, darling. And thank you, everyone that did call in and those that did listen to, you know, our whole episode tonight. So we appreciate that. And we'll be seeing you again next week. So it's a good night for me. And
happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Good night, Rosemary.
Good night. Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Elena. Good night, Ella and Sierra, my two kitties that I found in the yard today. Ella and Sierra.
Yeah, that's Eloise and Sierra. Perfect.
Yep. Ella and Sierra.
All right. Good night, darling. You have a good night. Bye.
You too. Bye.